Episode 56, Patrick and Cyprian speak with Himadri Majumdar, co-founder and chief executive of Semicon. The team discuss semiconductor-based quantum technologies, error correction, improvement of operating temperature ranges, and the benefits of research centers such as VTT. Welcome to Entangled Things, your quantum computing podcast, hosted by Patrick and Cyprian.
Hey, Cyprian, how you doing?
Hi, Patrick. I'm doing well. Looking forward for another great episode of our Entangled Things podcast.
So we're going to have a very exciting guest today. We're joined by Himadri. Could you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. It's very exciting to be here for obviously the reasons that I'm going to talk about, but also great to meet you guys and speak with you. So my name is Himadri Majumdar, and I'm CEO of a very, very new company that is emerging out of VTT, Technical Research Center of Finland. As you perhaps know, Finland is the powerhouse for quantum technologies, and I'm going to lead one of the up-and-coming companies in that domain. And as for myself, I am a physicist by training from a long time ago, have been involved in innovation, I would say, and innovation management for the last couple of decades. And until recently, I was leading the quantum programs at VTT, Technical Research Center, as well. So my role has been mostly defining the roadmap of technologies and how technologies can be commercialized. And now I'm taking up the role of commercializing one such technology.
So excellent. Excited. So this is going to be, this is a very exciting time. You know, Finland emerging as one of the big players in quantum is welcome news to pretty much everyone, I think. We were very thrilled to have VTT on back in the past when they had their big announcement. So this is a very big deal. So what is your company going to be focusing on, and what are the things that you're trying to take on as a company first?
Sure. So first of all, let me start with the name of the company, because that might reveal something. So the name of the company is Semicon with a Q in the middle. So as the name sounds, we are actually going to make quantum processors with semiconducting qubits. So that's our name, and that's going to be our game as well. And this is something that we have been incubating and doing research on in VTT over almost a decade. And now we are matured enough to emerge as a commercial entity. As you said, Patrick, Finland is becoming more and more recognized in the quantum domain. And so far, people have heard about Blue Force, which makes cryogenics, and IQM, which makes full-stack quantum computer. But we are a bit different. Not just different in terms of the qubits that we are doing with semiconductors, but also we are not a full-stack quantum computer maker. We are just a quantum processor maker. So that's a very strong differentiation for us, because we want to focus all our efforts and energy into building the best processors in the world, which addresses not just the near-term future, but the million qubit era that we are all waiting for. So that's what we are going for.
So this is exciting news, because this is a further sign that we're getting into this specialization that shows maturity in the industry. When, you know, in the beginning, you know, one company had to do it all because there were no support. There was no support out there. There was no specialization. Certainly there was no competition. And now you guys getting into this space and focusing means that all your energies will be on solving that one thing, which is a big thing. But then other people can worry about other aspects of it. And the million qubits that you mentioned is also becoming a theme. And I think about 5 years ago, I would have thought you were crazy to talk about a million qubits, but it's starting to seem like it's much more of a reality nowadays. So, you know, Cyprian and I are very excited to see what can come of it. You guys based purely in Finland, or are you going to have offices outside of the country as well?
At this moment of time, we are based out of Finland, and we will have all the operations here. And it will become evident during our conversation why we are going to be here. And so it will be a very tight team, and we will be working with global partners and customers. Obviously, the market is out there, but we will be basing all our activities from Finland in Helsinki region.
Awesome.
So here's one of the things that I always like to ask new board companies, right, and or startups or whatever you name them, is what is that specific thing that you believe you are going to bring to the market? Like what is that unique thing that will make you different, right? From, I've kind of already had a hint from what you said, because you're playing in the space of semiconducting qubits, right?
What does success look like, you know, in the first couple of years?
And it's going to be interesting to maybe provide to our listeners a little bit more detail. But in a general, from a general point of view, and you mentioned, right, you essentially were born inside VTT, right? So how did that work, like moving from something like VTT into the space of a private company, starting to act on the market as a private company? But my thing that I really want to understand, and I think our listeners are also really looking to understand this, like, what was the rationale behind you and your team deciding now it's the time to take a different shape, a commercial shape, right, and go out into this, I would dare to say, fascinating and rapidly growing market of quantum?
Very, very good question. And I think Patrick helped me earlier a bit by talking about it, but I will elaborate on that a little bit more. So it's all about timing. So that would be my first point, that timing is essential in this case. And the reason why I say timing is important is because so far we have been getting introduced to quantum computing. So the companies who are now operating are somewhat, let's say, successful or going to be very successful are the ones who build the full stack and introduce the world to quantum computing and what are the potential of quantum computing. And once everybody is introduced to the idea, the end users who benefit from quantum computing, they will ask for more. They will ask for a bigger and better solutions that quantum computing can generate. End users, like companies, will be seeking solutions that will benefit their business more and more. And what we see is the quantum computers that exist now are capable of only doing that much. And that's because the hardware is limited to a certain extent. Obviously, there are great advancements being made, and we will soon see thousands of qubits being made and built. However, they have certain limitations to how much they can accomplish with those hardware. And our company's goal is to kind of disrupt that and make it even possible to look beyond 1,000 qubits or 100,000 qubit even. Because when you talk about practical applications, it's kind of obvious that you need error correction and you need a lot of qubits within the NISQ era. And this is what we are trying to do with our solution, that we make it possible to build quantum processors which are scalable to an amount that you can go to million qubit within a, let's say, a decade or more time frame, not tens of years or so on. So we in that sense accelerate the development towards the million qubits, and that is where the value starts to come. And companies who want to do tangible things with quantum computers would need that capacity or power in the processors to achieve those goals. So we are enabling their success going forward in future. And coming back to the point of timing, which I mentioned at the beginning. So now we are, if we start now, and based on the technology that we have developed now, we believe that this is the perfect time to start doing that. And once we get going, we will be in the perfect sweet moment of time in future where our technologies will be perfectly ready for starting the million qubit era with our processors. So that's the angle here.
So you're building, you see an opportunity. So silicon semiconducting is well understood and it's been used quite well. And so I don't want to get into the secret sauce because I'm sure there's something you guys have seen, discovered, figured out that you can't reveal in in your in VTT's workings with quantum computers that way you see this as a path forward with greater efficiency. And I won't ask you for that secret sauce, but it sounds like you see a path forward to getting to providing the infrastructure so that when we need the semiconductors for the million qubit system, it's there, because it's going to take a long time to develop. It's going to take some challenges have to be done. So is that where you're trying to focus, is getting that path laid down so that before there's a gold rush, there's already a boom town. There's that already a railroad.
That is a very good way of looking at it. Absolutely. But in the meantime, we are not, when we talk to from a perspective of an investor, obviously you would like to see some return of investment and validation of the product. So we will continue to do that as we move along. And there will be different stages of products and developments that we'll go through. But ultimate goal is, yes, that million qubit era.
Excellent. Go ahead.
It's interesting, Patrick. You know, we're seeing, and if I put kind of together things that we've seen in the past months, right, we're seeing more and more interest in the potential for disruption in in quantum computing. And so let me kind of back up a little bit. The two most promising modalities are superconducting and trapped ions, right? And we have some of the big players who are involved in those. But at the same time, the more results we get with those, right, the more we become aware of the limitations. So one of the things we saw recently was DARPA in the US selecting three companies that they considered not to be the biggest players, but to be the ones with the biggest potential for disruption. Remember, Patrick, we were discussing that when...
Yes, although it bears mentioning that they greatly favor or exclusively favor American companies, so...
Yes, but the point that I'm trying to take here is that there is a growing kind of understanding in the market that it might just be that the current stars in terms of modalities, superconducting and trapped ions,
won't be the final thing.
Are just going to be too difficult to scale, too difficult to provide proper error correction and things like that.
Well, I don't know about you, but I have plenty of vacuum tubes in my laptop.
Yeah, but today's discussion is kind of additional proof to me, right, that we see more and more examples of emerging or newborn companies who are at least attempting, right?
Rethinking.
We don't know at this point whether they will succeed or not, or whether they will succeed in a more efficient or better way than the let's say, the current players. But they're trying to do things that are different.
So one of my mentors is a guy named Bruce Baca, and he always said, most people are so happy to find a solution to a problem that they never look for alternatives. And if there's five ways to do something, there's probably only a 20% chance you pick the best one. And so we need this kind of exploration. We need to not put all our eggs in the one basket. We need to think about alternate ways to solve this. So this is very welcome news and very important work that has to be done. And honestly, if you had to bet on something that was the first way of doing things, or you get to watch like 5 to 10 years of experience there and then pick the way you want to go, the late entrants are probably going to be more likely to be successful in the long run than the early entrants. So I count, you know, a lot of advantages that you guys are going to have as you build this. Is error correcting going to still be a big problem for you guys as it is with everyone else, or is there a different problem that you think is going to be your biggest hill to climb?
Well, we have multiple hills to climb, and error correction is one of them, and there our kind of bet is that if you have let's say 500 qubits, then error correcting them to get let's say 100 logical qubits. It's very difficult, right? But if you have 500,000 qubits, then error correcting them and getting them to 1,000 is even possible and better in that sense. So that is what we are trying to achieve with our volume in that case. Of course, our quality is important as well. We want to have the quality of the qubits very high. And this is what we are firstly targeting as well. But there are other challenges. There are challenges in terms of, how the qubits talk to each other and how we are trying to build a smaller footprint for the qubits as well. Because we are talking about chips now. And chips are very different from the sizes and dimensions that we are used to in the superconducting, for example. So there are different challenges from the engineering aspect, how to build those devices. And you, Patrick, talked about magic sauce without going into the details of some of the magic sauces that we have. One of the things that we also want to get to is potentially have the wirings replaced in the fridges that connect to the qubits to a monolithic level, like it has been in the classical chips. So you have interconnects and things like that on the chip scale and not separate wires going into your qubits. So
which should help a lot with noise.
And also with reducing the size of the whole processor and the machine. So there are multiple things that we are working on, but these are challenges which are, hard inherently.
When we talk about chips, classical processor chips, for example, right. We talk about how many nanometers of the architecture we're doing.
Exactly.
I assume you're using a very small nanometer architecture, or is that a challenge that is going to be to you, or does the smaller the nanometers of regular processors gets enable you guys to go smaller as well because the technology gets developed? In other words, I guess the question I'm asking is, are you going to benefit from the tailwinds of the the classical computing,
right?
Chip processing getting smaller and smaller.
Absolutely, and that is a angle which we are eventually trying to go for, because we know the classical semiconductor manufacturing process gets better and better every year, right? Because of Moore's law. We know about that. However, with the quantum semiconductor-based quantum technologies, we don't have to have the high end of semiconductor manufacturing yet, because if we start with semiconductor processes and dimensions, which was, let's say, 10 years ago, the standard, even with that, we are way ahead of how it is now with the superconductors and other technologies. So we are able to squeeze the dimensions down already with those. So we don't have to get to the highest kind of level in terms of classical semiconductors. We can still live with a process or dimensions which are 10 years.
So 15 old. Nanometers is still great. You don't need to get to 4 or 5 until later.
Or I would even bet on 100 of nanometers is good enough for that.
Oh,
as
wow.
Well.
Okay, so there's a lot of room to grow there.
Exactly. And this is the leverage that we are going to take. If I can go ahead a bit into our, my thinking, what I can say is, and this is where our location in Finland comes into very, very high importance, because we have access to such a fab where we can work in those dimensions in that lab. And this is very difficult for companies to get access to those things.
Right.
We have the right expertise in the team to do that. We have the access to the facilities. So we are able to do pilot level manufacturing already in the facilities that we are working out of. And others would need access to such fabs. And currently these fabs are very high end and very expensive. So this is not going to work out that easy.
So there's only a few places in the world you can do this, and you happen to be in one of them.
Correct.
Excellent. I was going to make the obligatory, well, it's already like, minus 200 Celsius there because it's so cold in Finland. I live in New Hampshire, so I can't really throw stones, glass houses and all. So is temperature operation temperature, is that going to be, are you going to be constrained in the same way that most people are, that you have to work at like very low degrees of Kelvin, or are you looking at a hotter processing level?
Yeah, well, we in Finland love low temperatures. That's not a problem. But for practical purposes, it would be better to have quantum computers operating at higher temperatures, of course. And this is one of our goals as well. So our goal is to make processors that operate at Kelvin level. It's not going to be room temperature. So that's
right.
Something
right.
That
but
we
still,
can promise.
I mean,
but Kelvin. So let's say
20
1,000
Kelvin
times
is
harder.
Hot. In this
yeah,
world
exactly.
Right now.
You know? Red hot.
It's super hot, yeah. It's exactly. Like it's melting. Yeah, so these are great goals and great ways to go. So I think we're fortunate enough to be recording this before your announcement. We're sworn to secrecy. Is there a big news event coming out for this announcement, I assume? And we're going to be publishing very shortly thereafter, I believe.
That is correct. So we will be announcing our let's say operations, our initial funding, and so on in the coming week or so. Yes.
Excellent. Yeah. So we're very honored to, you know, have you on talking about this stuff. Is you know, what kind of partnering are you doing? Is there someone else that you've got your eye on to that you think you can help them move forward faster, or is that too secret to reveal?
We cannot specifically name partners at this point of time. But what I can tell you is something that you also touched upon in the beginning when you were talking about the current state of the art. And there, it's actually true that full stack companies are the heroes now, and they should be acknowledged for what they are doing, because they are doing a great service to the quantum tech industry.
A lot of pioneering there. Yeah,
exactly. But as we move along, we will see that there will be more and more specialization coming in. So for example, we will be focusing and putting all our efforts on the best processors that we can build. And then there will be companies who will be doing the best control electronics, for example. And then there will be companies who will be doing the best middle-level softwares for controlling qubits and so on. So we don't want to do all of those. We want to work with the best who are there. And these are the kind of partnerships that we are going to have and we are going to build.
I see announcements like yours as a sign that we're coming toward the end of the beginning.
Exactly.
And that this is starting to become there's not two companies that are, you know, competing against it. It's becoming an ecosystem. And that's part of the thing that drove classical computing. Cyprian and I talk about this all the time, that the lessons, we are lucky because we have the lessons of classical computing and we can read these tea leaves. And this is a really good sign. It was great when IBM compatible computers weren't made by just IBM. They were made by everybody because that brought competition, specialization. If it weren't for that kind of thing, we wouldn't have video card and floating point operators the way we have them now.
Exactly.
And so it's a very exciting time.
Exactly.
So one of the things that is been on my mind, right? And again, we don't want to get into the secret sauce, right?
But we're not going to.
It's too early for that, right? So when we think about semiconductor technology in quantum, right, we know that there are two like big advantages in there. One is the gate fidelity and the other one is the speed, right? Compared to some of the other approaches, right? We also know that one of the, hills or mountains even you will need to climb is proper entanglement, right? That's fairly challenging. So what is your like, how are you going to position yourself, again, without revealing strategy and things like that, in the space? Because there are some important names already in this particular space, and probably the elephant in the room is Intel, right?
Correct.
Intel announced that they have plans around taking the same route of semiconductor technology. So I think everyone listening to us today, right, when it comes to this, they would like, oh, that's interesting, right? Here's a company that literally aims to challenge Intel Well, obviously, challenge Intel in a completely new field, right? You're not challenging Intel in building classical computing chips, because that's going to be very difficult, right?
Right.
But
right.
I would be really kind of interested to hear, like, what is going to be your business model after all, right, in this space? Are you going to be purely a chip maker? Are you going to be a chip maker plus a service provider? Like, what are some of the things that you are looking in terms of how you position yourself in this specific part of the quantum computing market, which is semiconductor-based quantum computing?
That is a fantastic question, and I'm really glad you asked it, because this is I think a very, very important factor for us, and this is one of the questions we have been answering to our investors as well, because we needed to convince them what we are doing makes sense from a business perspective as well. So to answer that question, yes, we know, obviously, that what Intel is doing and how things are being done there. We, for ourselves, want to stay as processor makers. So that's our kind of beef and core of our activities. And as far as service goes, this is something which might be interesting from a strategic perspective, like when we were talking about building strategic partnerships and so on. But it's not a working model for us to become a service provider. We want to be a product company, not a service company. So that's clear for us. And then coming back to the point of or addressing the competition, this is also where timing is actually the issue, and not the timing in the way that I explained earlier, but it's in a bit different way. And here comes again the point that we have access to a pilot line fab, and what it does is we have the opportunity to do design cycles that allows us to create qubits which are high performing, and at the same time, let's say, go through the process of redesigning our chips every 2-3 months. So our fabrication cycle allows us to go through different architectures, different structures as fast as anybody can, or better than anybody can, so to speak. And this is where we have a strong, strong advantage, that having access to such a fab allows us to go through a cycle which is very fast. Nimble. And yeah, exactly. And comparing it to Intel, of course, they can also do that. But there comes the issue that their fab lines or their lines are at the very high end for the classical chips. And getting those lines to work for quantum purpose is not easy, it's not cheap, and it's not fast. So our nimbleness is actually going to be a crucial factor for us to drive that forward. And this also feeds into the point of getting better and better performances out of the qubits as well.
Interesting.
And the other thing that I was kind of reflecting upon while we are discussing it, it's kind of from a completely different angle. Hope you don't mind if we switch gears a little bit. But
sure.
VTT, right, is, if I am not mistaken, right, is a, to some degree or to a full extent, is a government organization, right? So it's amazing for me how we can clearly see in this case the synergy between, right, funding fundamental research, which is something that you should either be very, very, very large in terms of a private organization like the Googles and IBMs and Microsofts of the world, right? Otherwise, it doesn't make too much sense to fund the type of research which has, let's say, results that might bear fruit in 10 years or 15 years, right? And that's right. Where I believe the European kind of mindset, correct, as opposed to what we see in some other places, comes to very effective play, where the government comes in and funds in the form of research centers, in the form of various types of organizations. And then, correct, one of the results of that funding, besides the technology that it's being developed, right, is you get to see private entities being born out of that, but
exactly
being born in a way that they're not thrown in high water and let to learn to swim, but they have already access to technology, which makes them potentially highly competitive. We are discussing here about your model. So what I really like about this particular discussion is how this is almost like a poster child example of how government funding into fundamental research produces technology, and then that technology enables the creation of players, right? Commercial players that would go ahead and put that technology to work in a commercial fashion. So what I would like to get your and maybe even making abstraction of your own case, right? Mm-hmm. But I would like to get your view on the cycle of, and I think for quantum computing, this is fundamental, right?
Yeah.
Getting public money to fund research, right? To create technology and then to allow the private sector to pick up and move forward, right? Into the open market with competition and so forth. How important do you think this is for the overall field of quantum computing?
First of all, thank you for bringing that topic up, because I think this is absolutely essential for people or your listeners to understand that this is the core factor which makes companies like us possible. And yeah, so I totally agree with you. And here, what I would add even further to that is one can argue that the fundamental research are also done in universities. So why can't it work with universities? But what research centers like VTT does is adds an extra layer of benefit on top of that. And that is, they take the fundamental research and they make it pre-commercial even to a prototype level. So we are really lucky to have that kind of approach as well. So we don't have to, as you exactly said, we are not thrown into the water with something very risky and something very new, because we have done the testing, we have done the early work, and we have gone to the pre-commercial level, and we know it will be working. So our starting point is much better in that sense.
You start with a tested hypothesis instead of an untested hypothesis.
Correct. And this is a huge advantage. And the other factor, which also works from an organization like VTT, is their infrastructure. A hardware company like us won't even exist if we have to invest money in a large infrastructure. That's impossible. So having government infrastructure being built and allowing companies to operate out of that is a huge, huge benefit and gives us a significant advantage in that respect.
Yeah. So, and it also sounds to me as a very sound investment from the part of the government, because as soon as you start using that infrastructure for commercial purposes, that will generate revenue.
Exactly. Yeah. And that is the return of investment from a public money perspective. Absolutely.
Right. Well, and quantum computing is one of the 44 critical technologies that governments are competing over, and having, you know, additional plays, having expertise, having people work in that field is a benefit to any government that wants their economy to keep growing. You don't want to be left behind in this, and a lot of countries are going to be left behind because they're not as foresighted as what Finland's doing right now.
Well, that's true. But sorry, go ahead.
Patrick is our listeners know, Patrick is based in the United States. I myself, I'm based in Romania, in Europe. And I can't help but we'll ask the question, right? Whether you will want to answer it or not, that's fine, right? Like, I have this distinct feeling that, like, in general, the European Union lags behind the United States when it comes to quantum, right? With a few exceptions. And I think given that we've had multiple interactions with folks from VTT and now with you, and then also with other people coming from this real quantum incubator, which is Finland, right? Finland is clearly miles ahead of the European Union, right? So what do you think, and again, feel free to just say, "Hey, Cyprian, I'm not gonna answer that." Right? What do you think it would take the European Union to kind of, let's say, reduce this gap? Because I've talked to many, many people, right, and they from Europe, and they have this kind of view or perception that we are lagging behind, especially when it comes to the United States, because whether we like it or not, companies like yours coming from Finland, right, they are not really the norm in the European Union. So Finland has made some very smart decisions early on, right, investments, things like that. Somehow it seems to me that the European Union is not being able to scale that, let's call it like this, right, at a continental level. And to be honest, as a European, that worries me a little bit.
Right. I see your point. I will answer your question. That's a very valid question. And I think what Finland has done right is how much effort has been put. Let me take a step back here. So Finland's research environment with low temperature physics and low temperature technology goes back to 1960s. So this is nothing new for Finland. So all that you see now, or all that is emerging, like companies like ourselves, are a product of the work that has been carried out over the last 6-7 decades. So it's a long, long time where investment has been systematic and research has been done, and now it's starting to bear fruit, and the timing is perfect with the advent of quantum computing and so on. And compared to other European countries, what I think is a usual problem, which is general, so to speak, is a sustained investment in a technology. Because if you want to get a technology to mature enough to become commercial, you have to have a sustained investment into that. And sometimes that is not the case, unfortunately, that investments can be prioritized depending on various things and various kind of priorities. But in Finland, it has been somehow, fortunately, that the low temperature physics and low temperature engineering has been sustained and has been invested over the last 6-7 decades, and now we are seeing the benefit. I wouldn't say this will work for all technologies. Finland is not a leader in all technologies similar to this. So it's just we have been in the right time in the right place, basically.
Yes.
And I thank you for expressing the opinion, and I honestly think Finland's example when it comes to quantum, right, should be really kind of picked up and even let's say replicated at the level of the European Union, because at the end of the day, I believe in these top level fields, and I'm certain Patrick will be agreeing with me, right, in these kind of cutting edge, even I dare to call strategic fields of research, right, the combination between government, academia, and the private sector is the only one that can advance things, right? There's no other recipe. You might discuss how much of this and that you need to get. Surely that's a discussion. But unless you have all kind of three legs of this tripod, it's very difficult to advance things to the point where they become commercially viable.
Without that, it's luck. Luck plays way too big of a role in whether a country is going to lead in an area like this. You have to have the right people at the right time, and there's a lot of luck involved. This is a way to manufacture opportunity.
Yeah.
Which is what we need. We need opportunities, and this is it. You guys, it's going to be an exciting time. We're very happy, you know, to be part of it. We're kind of running towards the 40-minute mark, but we definitely want to hear more about it. What else? Is there anything else you want to say before we kind of wrap things up?
From Semicon's perspective, no, we are very happy to be part of this podcast, and we are very, I'm personally very happy and pleased that we had this conversation, because I think we touched upon many valid and important points
right back at you,
quantum tech. So thank you very much for that.
Thanks. We're excited. Hopefully you'll talk to us when you're rich and famous.
Absolutely.
Or to be more accurate, richer and more famous.
That's right. That's right. Thanks a lot for joining us. And
thank you. It's been a real pleasure.
Thanks
likewise
again.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.